Okay, can we talk about how confusing weight loss has become? Like, one minute it's carbs are bad, and then the next it's, no, actually carbs are fine, but only if you walk 10,000 steps and drink a green juice, and honestly, it's just a lot. And then even if you do lose the weight, keeping it off is a whole different story. If you're struggling and want something that fits your real life, Hers can help. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals in a way that actually fits your life. That's why Weight Loss by Hers is getting so much attention right now.
Hers connects you with licensed medical providers who create doctor-developed treatment plans tailored to you.
They offer access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. It helps regulate your appetite so you eat less and keep the weight off. If you're ready to reach your goals and want to try something new, visit forhers.com/Bert to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/Bert. Forhers.com/Bert. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is a registered trademark of Novo Nordisk A/S. Get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions. Visit forhers.com.
It's the Bert Show.
Natalie, we got to make sure the voice disguiser is set for Ashley and set real good because
she's set real good.
Set real good. set real strong because she doesn't think that her dad is her birth dad or knows her dad's not his
birth
dad.
Wow, and he doesn't realize it either.
Mm-mm. Hey, Ashley, welcome to the Bert Show.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good.
When did you find out this information?
And how?
I found out on Wednesday, actually this past Wednesday, and it's a really long story, but my mother is not the sanest person, but apparently she let it slip to my younger sister, and she happened to be angry with my mother and told me on Wednesday.
Okay, start over a little bit.
Yeah.
Yada,
yada, yada, and that's not my dad.
Yeah. So how old are you?
I'm 30.
You're 30 years old, and you have a sister?
I have two sisters. I have an older sister who me and her have the same dad, same mom. My younger sister, we have same mom, different dad.
Okay.
And it was, my mother's been married like 5 times. So I have multiple stepdads and all that sort, which she's told some of my stepdads, you know, that my dad is not my dad as well. And I mean, it's always been an ongoing joke where my sisters have always said that I'm the milkman's baby because I don't look like anybody in my family. And my dad is Hispanic, and I am the palest person that you will ever see. And I have blue eyes. Nobody in my family has blue eyes. I'm just completely different. And so,
well, you know, but my brother and sister, I was the only blonde in my family. And so I, you know, my brother and sister, you know, wouldn't give me crap because I look different. And, you know, and it wasn't true.
How did it come up between
as
your
mom?
That as far as I know, wait a second.
How did it come up between your sister and your mom?
Actually, it was one of my stepfathers who told my sister. He's the one who raised my younger sister. Her dad wasn't in the picture. And, so he raised my sister, and he let it out one day, and she questioned him about it. And then she went to my grandmother, and my grandmother confirmed it. And then she went to my mother, and first my mother denied it, and then she came back and said that it was true.
Wow.
That she didn't want me to know, and that she would take it to her deathbed, that I would never find out. And it just so happened that my sister's upset with my mom about something, so she told me.
Wow. Okay, wait. Let me just get this straight. Your mom's had 5 different husbands, but all of a sudden she's worried about you thinking that you had a different dad. Like, I don't understand why the secret in the first place. If she's had 5 different husbands and your younger sister's from a different father, why keep the big secret going?
I guess at the time she was still trying to stay with my father, which, regardless of anything, he's my dad and will always be my dad.
Right, right.
But,
I'm sorry.
She, I guess, was trying to stay with him and didn't want, I don't know. And she told my sister that she went to this guy who's supposedly my biological father and told him, and he said that he didn't want to have anything to do with her or me, which my mother wouldn't know the truth if it were written out in front of her and all she had to do was read it. My sister doesn't, I haven't been able to confront my mother with it because my sister is worried about my mother getting mad at her and doesn't want to be thrown underneath the bus. So it's kind of like I'm stuck and don't know what to do, you know. I don't want to tell my dad because, you know, I know he's not going to, it's not going to change his love for me, but still, I don't know.
How old is your little sister?
She's 25.
Who caused all this drama?
Melissa rolling her eyes at sister and sister.
She found out from a stepdad.
Now, I don't, I know, but
right,
I'm not.
But I'm saying that in anger, she didn't have to tell.
She didn't have to tell, but doesn't.
It's still our caller, fault.
Yeah, Ashley, I think our caller deserves to know the truth about her real dad. It's not the younger sister's.
And I'm uncomfortable with the term real dad. Her real dad is the
birth,
guy that raised
dad.
Yeah, her
right.
biological
You're right.
father. Because her right. real dad is the one that has been there for her through her years and has loved her through this. So,
Do you wish you had never found out, Ashley?
I actually do because, I mean, I'm like torn. I'm in a place right now, you know, I have a daughter and I'm in a place right now where, you know, I've had a lot of medical problems. Mm-hmm. I've had 10 surgeries in the past 3 years, and wow. I wonder, you know, and my mother has known all this, you know, is it something having to do with that side of the family? Mm-hmm. You know, I have no idea, and I don't know why she would keep this.
Well, she doesn't know because he didn't want to have anything to, I mean, it's not as if she could get the information because it sounds like your biological father didn't want to be involved at all.
Well, see, that's thing though is like I said, my mother wouldn't know the truth if it was written on a piece of paper. I don't know how much truth there is to that. I think that's her trying to shed good light on her that the reason she did it is because he didn't want to have anything to do with me. I really feel like I'm starring in a really bad Lifetime movie being produced by Jerry Springer.
There is no bad Lifetime movie. Are you silly?
And I don't think it would be Jerry Springer. I think it would be Maury Povich. She's the one who does all the dad things.
Paternity. He has the market on paternity.
Believe it or not, you are not the only Bird Show listener going through something like this. Hey, Sherry, welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hey.
How is everyone this morning?
Good.
We're good. Better than Ashley.
Ashley, don't feel bad, honey. You are not the only one in this world who has had difficulty determining who they are because of a lack of knowledge. Just know you are who you are. It does not matter who you came from. You will get past it. It might take you a little while. It would help, I think, if you could actually, you know, at least meet your real father. Turns out my dad was a wonderful, wonderful man. And I did not know him. I did not know of him until I was, 23, 24. I'm 46 now.
Wow.
It gets easier. It truly does get easier. But I understand looking in a mirror and thinking, where did the color of my eyes come from? Why is my skin tone so different from everybody else's? Mm-hmm. I was my mother's oldest, my father's youngest, and I was raised in the middle of six. That's confusing as all get out.
Well, Ashley, do you think your mom knows who your biological dad is?
Yeah, I have his name.
You do, okay.
And I know where he lives, which is, you know, I'm not from Georgia. I grew up in New York. But he lives, and that's where my dad still lives, and this man lives about 30 minutes from where I grew up, where my dad lives right now.
Wow. So I really do think that you need to say something to your mom.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, despite your sister being mad at you and that kind of thing, I think you gotta put it out in the open.
Well, one of my stepdads did tell me that he didn't care if I told her. He was the one that told me because he said, what is she going to do? I'm already divorced from her, so it's not like she can make my life any worse. So, I mean, I can do it without calling my sister out.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm confused to a point where I don't know. Number one, I still don't know how to process everything. And number two, I don't know if I want to contact this man to find out if he knew about me, because it could go two ways. He didn't, and then he wants to be a part of my life, and then I have to tell my dad. That way he doesn't find out in some messed up way. Or the second scenario is that it was true and that he didn't want to have anything to do with me, and then I have to kind of work in that rejection as well. So I don't know.
But the thing is you're already in too far. That would have been fine if you never knew.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But now I feel like you've got so much information, you got to do something with it.
Here's a perspective from the dad's point of view. Hey, Nick, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, guys, and it's a great show. But
Thank you.
I have a I have a child who is not biologically mine, mm-hmm. and I've raised her basically since she's been born, and she lives with me. I'm currently divorced, mm-hmm. and I've been aware that she's not my child all along. I've treated her as my own. I have other children who are biologically mine, and I think her dad, whether he is or he is not her dad, he has the right to know, and it's not going to change the way he cares about her, you know, in any perspective.
Yeah, and I feel that that is your child. You know,
exactly is. That's my daughter.
Yes.
She is darker skin color than the rest of us. Mm-hmm. She looks different, but she's my daughter. I don't care what people say when they walk down the street.
Yeah, my feeling about that is, yeah, I mean, whoever gives you love and support is your family, you know? So,
correct.
I, you know, but I understand the importance of, I mean, I have a friend who is one of my good friends that I grew up with was adopted. The only reason he cared at all, like you mentioned earlier in the call, is maybe for, you know, medical reasons. But
he's,
as far as he was concerned, and yeah, that his family was his adopted family. That was his family. You know what I mean? So, but I think that you're trying to protect your sister, you're trying to protect the stepdad, you're trying to protect your mom. This is your life and your journey, and you need to know this. And I agree with Jen mm-hmm. that you need to speak up. I don't care who gets mad because this involves you.
Yeah.
Quit protecting everybody.
Exactly.
Hey, we have this another call we have to take on the voice disguiser. Liz, you're talking to Ashley.
Hey, guys. How are you this morning?
Good. How are you?
Fine. Hey, Ashley, I'm 38, and 2 years ago, I just found out that the man that I grew up believing my biological father was not. And it was during a phone call after probably a 15-year search that I made to him. And, you know, he's just like, hey, something I got to tell you, I'm not your dad. So I completely understand and empathize with your feelings on wanting to know who you are, because I was always so different from my other family members. Just be wary and kind of think about the relationship that you have with your mother. Only because when I confronted my mother, it did not go well, and we actually haven't talked in about 2 years.
So oh, no.
Be prepared for that adverse reaction, because it was such a defense mechanism, I think, for my mother, because I had found out this secret that had been harbored for all these years. So just take that in consideration when you're, you know, going through all these thoughts and questions in your mind.
Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Wow. That's heavy.
Do you have the calls or the thoughts that we've shared with you changed the direction? Did you have a direction before you called us, or were you completely?
I'm completely, I guess, lost in that. You know, I'm not worried about my mother getting mad at me at this point, because, you know, she would not cut ties with me, because she always has to be in the middle of everything, and our relationship is not good anyway. You know, I've always been closer to my dad, and the only person out of this whole thing that I'm worried about hurting is him. Because mm-hmm. I'm sure that I'm going to be the one that has to tell him. Mm-hmm. And I just don't want to hurt my dad. But I mean, I'm confused because, you know, I want to know who this other man is. I want to know if I have siblings. I want to know all of that. But then I know that if I pursue that I have to tell my dad.
Definitely.
And then, you know, it's going to hurt him. And I mean, it's not going to change anything. I mean, he's raised me for 30 years, and he's my dad, and he's been there for everything. And I know that that's not going to change everything. He might get really mad at my mom, and that would be...
Seems like everybody takes a turn getting mad at your mom,
yeah,
so I wouldn't worry about that.
Yeah. Not very
close. We definitely keep Tracy posted as to what you do and how it goes.
Yeah.
Okay, and
good luck.
And I'm sure we'll all get emails about this,
yeah.
or you know, people who couldn't get through, or people who wanted to wait till they got to work to put their thoughts down. We'll forward those to you and see maybe they'll help.
Okay, thank you very much.
And just be warned, we're notoriously 50-50 on everything we do, so you'll be just as confused after you read those emails, but we'll try to help.
Thank you.
Cool. Thanks for sharing the story with us, Ashley.
No problem.
Take care. Have a great day.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Here, Bird Show.
Okay, can we talk about how confusing weight loss has become? Like, one minute, it's carbs are bad, and then the next, it's, no, actually, carbs are fine, but only if you walk 10,000 steps and drink a green juice, and honestly, it's just a lot. And then even if you do lose the weight, keeping it off is a whole different story. If you're struggling and want something that fits your real life, Hers can help. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals in a way that actually fits your life. That's why Weight Loss by Hers is getting so much attention right now.
Hers connects you with licensed medical providers who create doctor-developed treatment plans tailored to you.
They offer access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. It helps regulate your appetite so you eat less and keep the weight off. If you're ready to reach your goals and want to try something new, visit forhers.com/Bert to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/Bert. Forhers.com/Bert. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is a registered trademark of Novo Nordisk A/S. Get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions. Visit forhers.com.
The Bert Show.
I told you guys yesterday. What did I say? I had a philosophical...
That's how you put, how you explained it.
Mm-hmm. That I would throw a philosophically awkward question at you guys today, right?
Okay. Yes.
All right. It's
we missed you too.
What's that?
We missed you too. awkwardness.
Matthew Dwyer is in here. Matthew is the owner of Healthy Trim. Last week when I was listening to the show, and it was really in spurts. I mean, it wasn't a whole bunch, and I was on painkillers when I was listening. The morning after Tiger Woods. Maybe he had his first interview. No, when was it? Why did you guys start talking? Oh, no. It was the announcement of him playing at Augusta.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
You guys started a debate on if you could get passes to Augusta to see Tiger Woods.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Would you even use those passes?
Right.
And you started the debate, and then you stopped. And at least listening for those couple of seconds, it felt to me like I could see Melissa's eyes roll as to say that she would not take the tickets.
Right. Well, because
Jeff sounded excited about it, and Jen, you seemed on the fence.
Well, Jeff was asking if he should spend the money to do it.
Yeah, because my thought is because this year it's Tiger's comeback, you already got to buy your passes to go to Augusta National, you know, and they're already, I mean, you can't even go to a playing round for less than a grand, right? Mm-hmm. So if you're going to go this year, those are going to be two and three times that, which that's a ridiculous amount of money, right? Right. So I think Melissa's argument was, it's not worth it to go. Why would you, you know, spend that
for
kind
me,
of money
no.
to see a cheater? Mm-hmm. My thing is, it's not like the money's going to him.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do want to have that once in a lifetime experience, you might as well have it on Tiger's comeback.
Right.
And I was just being antagonistic, saying, "What if he wins?"
Yeah, you got
then it. You would really want to be there. No,
you
if
want
he wins.
That sort of under your bragging belt. Like,
no, Jen thinks it's funny if I miss three mortgage payments. That's what Jen's doing.
So it was really more the money issue. It was if you were going to spend money on the tickets,
right? Yeah, specifically for Tiger.
Is this the year? Is it?
Is it worth
if you're
money?
Making it philosophical, is it bad to spend extra money on an event that is featuring somebody who could be morally bankrupt?
So if the tickets
on the street, they're going for like $4,000.
Nat, you need to turn his mic on. Go ahead, Matthew.
Well, on the street now, they're the highest I heard last night because of Tiger's comeback. They're going for like $4,000.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in the sports world, this is monumental.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the one you want to be at. This is the one that people will be talking about for generations and generations and generations. So the question I was going to pose to you guys today is if you had Masters tickets, would you take them, which Matthew has and is willing to offer up to you guys?
Okay. Yeah, I'd take them.
You do?
I would take them.
No, I stand by what I said.
Yeah, hope
you will not take them.
No, I will not take them.
I would.
Katie's screaming at me probably right now, but no. I mean, because, yeah, because I've talked before when we talked about Michael Vick. Like, one of those, if I had a Michael Vick jersey at the time all these things came out that I did not personally agree with on what he did, I would get rid of the jersey, and I would not purposely go try to see a game just because of him. And if I was a golf fan, if I went to the Masters every year, if I went to tournaments here in Atlanta every year, and going to the Masters was something I consistently would do, then sure. But if I went, it would only be because of the hype around Tiger, and I just don't agree with him and don't like him, so I wouldn't go.
Now, here's what I think the difference is, because I hear your Michael Vick argument.
Yeah.
And I think it's similar to like your R. Kelly argument or your Chris Brown argument.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a if you have an issue with someone, then you don't do anything to support them.
Right.
All Masters tickets are privately owned.
Mm-hmm.
If they sell out Augusta National, Tiger doesn't get a bonus. He doesn't get more money. You're not lining his pocket.
It's like the jersey. I mean, the jersey benefits the company for Michael Vick.
But Michael Vick got money
from
that.
See, it's almost the event, too. To me, your argument says I wouldn't go to see the Eagles in the Super Bowl because Michael Vick is part of their team, even though the Super Bowl is the event itself that is memorable. Like, just being at Augusta.
But you know where she's coming from.
I mean, come on now. I mean, everybody benefits.
It's kind of on a technicality.
Everybody benefits from the hype around Tiger. So, I mean, you're rewarding a company that's supporting Tiger. You're rewarding these people that support these people that it's a personal decision. I mean, and everything is relative. You can't just section one thing off from the other. So, yeah, the only reason I'd be going to the Masters is because the hype around Tiger. No, thank you.
Bert, you've clearly
been
away.
Have you ever been to Augusta? Have you ever seen the grounds?
No, but I could do it next year, or I could have done it last year.
So Matthew has these amazing connections down at Augusta. He's the guy that brought me down to Augusta to play last year. And he plays down there like it's a miniature golf course up here. I mean, he plays all the time. And he's got a bunch of hoity-toity friends that are members down there also. So if he wants tickets to Augusta, he gets them.
Mm-hmm.
And he heard you guys sort of debating about this the other day. And I'm like, well, let's see who'll take the bait on the air. I said, when presented with those tickets, Melissa will take them.
I'd be a hypocrite. I've been on air consistently criticizing the man. I've been on air consistently telling Elon,
but
don't stay with them.
But you're not benefiting him at all.
I don't see how
there's
y'all
a very
see it.
Strong connection.
It's kind of
so do you like golf at all?
I'm not the biggest golf fan.
Do you like a beautiful landscape with flowers blooming? And it's probably the most unbelievable stage of landscape.
You can show me that on non-Masters weekend. I can go to Augusta and check out the golf course with you.
No, you can,
on non-Masters weekend.
No, it's actually too difficult to do that.
Then I guess I'm going to miss it.
It's easier to get on Augusta during the tournament than it is outside the tournament.
Yeah,
because it's the
Allowed. Here's the deal: you're only allowed a member is only allowed to have 3 guests at one time on the premises. Okay. So.
And you can't just go there.
No, you cannot just go there.
You can't just show up.
And if you're a member, you can
around.
Show up at any time.
Member, you can show up at any time.
But yeah, but there's very, very few members. And it's very, rare to be invited by a member. I mean, it is the most exclusive experience in sports.
Right.
It really is. I mean, maybe not for Matthew.
No,
but
it is.
For
it
the
is.
Rest
no,
of the world,
no, no,
it definitely
it
is.
It is. It's definitely an unbelievable, very unique, very special experience. Let's step it up a little bit for Melissa.
Why
if you want, let me give the phone number out, by the way, if you want to weigh in on our...
Why me?
I think I can
If you want to weigh in on Melissa's master debate, we are at 404-741.
You wanted to say that you were waiting the entire conversation.
Before we even move on, I don't know where Jen stands on it.
She said she's in.
Yeah, she would go, right?
My dad is such a big golf fan, I would have to get the tickets and take my dad.
It'd be one pass, though.
I would give it to my dad.
You would?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's a lifelong golfer. You know, he's been to Augusta National one time, was able to play one time, and it was really like the highlight of his golf experience of his life. And so I think, my dad and I have had plenty of discussions about Tiger. I think he would scoff it off, but still at the same time, like, he would be there to see everybody else in the tournament. You know what I mean? I think it goes beyond Tiger for my dad to be able to go to the Masters and experience that.
Here's what I think. I think that this year there will be more people to watch Tiger.
Oh, sure.
Mm-hmm.
The gallery is
going to
be huge. The gallery is going to be crazy.
And it's going to be everybody who...
Do they allow more people in for the tournament because it's
there's
a big
year with
them?
There's only X number of people that are allowed in, period. But if you want to be crammed around a certain hole, sometimes it's very, very difficult to see him. But I think that... I think he's going to come back. I think he's going to either do extremely well and win it, or he may miss the cut. Who knows? We'll see. This is the first time.
I really hope he doesn't win it.
It may be different this year in that you could get closer to him in past years, because I think they're going to be very, very careful about how close they allow people to get to Tiger Woods this year.
But everything you're talking about is irrevelant.
Okay.
It's just being at Augusta National.
Correct. You don't have to see Tiger if you
Tiger
don't want him.
Comes back, and you're going to have there. I'm not the only. I know I'm not the only one because I've had this conversation with other people who've always had it on their radar. Oh, I live in Atlanta. I live in Georgia. Got to go to Augusta National. Like Jen, it would be great.
I've never been,
for my dad to experience it. Like I have friends who would buy me beers and lunch for the rest of their lives. Type of thing. Like everybody, it's on everybody's radar to go to it. But this year, this is the only year that this is going to be this.
Mm-hmm.
So there's going to be
added bonus.
The ticket demand is going to be unreal.
What was your addition to raising the stakes here?
Well, I don't know. We could maybe... I'd have to check with a couple of friends, but I think that it's possible that I could maybe get a couple of clubhouse badges and get in the clubhouse and maybe have a drink with Bill Gates or something.
That would be fantastic if I could give it to Jen's dad. I
mean, seriously, even to go into the clubhouse.
Yeah, no,
wow. Standing strong.
I mean, like I said, if I consistently made efforts to go to Augusta throughout my adult life since moving to Atlanta, not one year have I ever tried to go to Augusta. Not one year have I ever tried to connect contacts mm-hmm. here at the station. You know, I never once. And so, why this time when Tiger's going to be there? No, thank you. I appreciate the offer, but no, thank you.
You guys want to take bets on how long it takes Katie Jo to move out? I'm guessing she's already putting the boxes together and taping the bottoms.
Well, it's fortunate that one of her best friends lives in Augusta, so she's had an experience that I haven't had. And so I'm, yeah.
Clubhouse passes?
But this is for one, right, Matthew? It's for one person, right, Bert? So it wouldn't be for Katie Jo. No, it would be for me.
You're getting all angry, dude.
I'm just saying. I know. I'm just saying that y'all are pushing it to try to get me angry.
I think I could work it out that you and your friend could come in to the clubhouse.
If I gave it to Katie, if I could give it to Jen's dad, if I could give it to Wendy, who can never, I mean, if I could give it to somebody that really wants to go, but... They can only go if you go. I think it is a disgrace. Listen, I think it's a disgrace to the sport of golf for people who have never been able to go because they've never had the contacts, they've never had the riches, they've never had the opportunity to be able to go. And then for me, who's not a big golf fan, who's not a Tiger fan at all, to end up going to Augusta and keeping them from being able to have that opportunity.
My wife's not a golf fan, but when you know she walked out there, she was like, oh my gosh, yeah. This place is so beautiful. It really, really, really is. Hey, I hear you. It's your beach.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Rosemary, welcome to the Bird Show.
Hi.
What's going on?
I was just
going
to weigh in on Melissa's argument. I understand where she's coming from.
Okay.
She doesn't want to support Tiger because she doesn't agree with, like, the moral standings of Tiger. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I'm not a big golf fan either, but I'm just saying you could go and still support the other golf players. Like, I know there's one that has a wife that's battling cancer, so you could dress head to toe in pink.
Mickelson.
To support her.
Phil,
which would be fine. I just know that when I get back to Atlanta, if I went to the Masters, I went to Augusta, these guys would be like, well, why did you support Tigers?
She's not getting that.
No, you're supporting
Matthew,
an Augusta family.
I'm saying when I come back, I will get that. So, I mean, it's
well, right now when I turn on my phone when I get out of here, all my family members are, well, don't give them to, quit trying to give them to Melissa, give them to me.
Hey, Amanda, welcome to... Amanda, welcome to the Bird Show.
Hello.
Hello.
I am completely against Melissa. I would die to be offered one ticket or two tickets to see it. And people were going to sell out. The Masters were going to sell out whether Tiger was there this year or not. The only thing that's going to change is that more people are going to watch the Masters on TV than they would have if Tiger wasn't there.
Now, would you die to go even if this was not the big event of the year, Tiger's return?
Yeah. I would love to go. I mean, it's like, mm-hmm. I've lived in Atlanta all my life, and my parents used to go to the practice rounds, but just, I would kill to go any day of the week, Wednesday through Sunday, just to see that course, because the greens are like, you want to roll around in them, and you want to pick the flowers off. I mean...
let me know how that goes.
The thing is, I mean, if you get to go to the tournament, you will tell your friends about that for the rest of your life. It doesn't matter if Tiger was part of it or not. This is just the added bonus. Because the story doesn't change at all. You're always going to brag about being at Augusta. Only you'll say, I was there, and I happened to be there the year that Tiger came
back. Just for the record, even if I don't go, I'm still telling people, yeah, I was there that year.
I'm curious how Augusta and the Masters whole franchise feels about Tiger Woods, because he has put a blemish on the game of golf. I mean, these really pretty nasty, trashy stories have come out about him over the last 6 months, whatever. And this is a classy game, and this is the classiest tournament of all the games. And I've heard from a couple of people who feel like Tiger's ruining the Masters.
Well, it's going to be, they say, the highest viewed Masters ever. And I don't doubt that.
I'm just saying, I wonder, with the classy nature of the people running this kind of an event and running this course, if they're a little miffed at him.
Golf needs Tiger Woods.
Yeah.
They need.
You're not miffed at the person who signs your paycheck, no matter how frustrated you might get at them from time to time.
I haven't watched one stroke of golf since Tiger has been gone. Not one stroke. Mm-hmm. And the tour knows that they need Tiger Woods.
So you, do you think
but
they would? Do you think they would have? Like, do you think they're just gonna like kind
of
wait till the last minute to allow them on the grounds, or do you think they'd have them on and play this week or something?
No, they already. I mean, Melissa already had. Who already told us? You already said it.
I think that ESPN interview was from Augusta.
Yeah, he's already been
so
there.
He's
yeah,
playing.
So he's there.
Matthew knows the answer to that.
Yeah, he played 36 yesterday.
Matthew played behind him yesterday.
Wow,
oh, that's
so
awesome.
So he's down there practicing
cool.
already.
That's really neat.
He couldn't have been nicer. It was a little chilly yesterday, but he looks like he must be taking the Healthy Plex or something. He's bulked up a little bit.
He's been in like solitary confinement for the last couple of months, so maybe all he's doing is working out.
Yeah, he's ripped. He didn't hit the ball that great on the first 18, but he never lost his temper once. His short game is there, and we'll see. But he played 36 yesterday, played right behind him. It was pretty neat.
I want to hit the ball like Tiger Woods hits it on his very worst day.
Right.
You know?
Hey, Eric, you'll be our very last phone call.
All right. Matt, you can just call me Melissa. I'll take the tickets and go.
There you go. Problem solved.
All right. So, Jen, you said that you're in.
Yeah, I would be in to take my dad or to give the tickets to my dad.
Jeff,
not
you would
for
be
me.
In a heartbeat.
And Melissa, no.
Nope.
No thanks. Thanks,
no,
but
you,
no thanks.
Thanks
what
no
if
thanks.
I gave you tickets to an R. Kelly concert?
You
as
already
an
did.
Added bonus. Chris
Yay.
Brown.
And she Woo! Took those, didn't she? She yeah, took the R. Kelly ones and
went.
Oh, my
heartbeat.
God. Whatever.
And Bert, I'm assuming your answer.
I would go, but I can't. I can't hobble around Augusta. And by August 8th, I won't be ready to off
this
crutches.
This is all hypothetical, right?
Doesn't have to be.
What do you mean? What's all hypothetical?
The tickets.
Yeah.
Tickets, you got them.
No way.
Yes.
Saturday.
This is a real.
My family's going to kill me because they're going to be like, "You're giving." Yes, you got them for Saturday.
Awesome.
Really?
I'm going to give you my badges for Saturday.
Seriously? Like,
I don't know anything about. Don't look at me.
Yeah.
Somebody pinch me right now. Is this real?
It's real.
I thought we were having a hypothetical conversation.
No, I said philosophical. This is real. This is a real deal.
This is a real deal. I'm going to give up my badges for you, Jen, and for you, Jeff. Yes.
And you're not going.
I'm not going.
Hell yeah.
Are you more excited that I'm not going? Because that's what it sounded like.
Yeah, Bert, you're not going. Hell yeah.
The Bert Show.
Okay, can we talk about how confusing weight loss has become? Like, one minute, it's carbs are bad, and then the next, it's, no, actually, carbs are fine, but only if you walk 10,000 steps and drink a green juice, and honestly, it's just a lot. And then even if you do lose the weight, keeping it off is a whole different story. If you're struggling and want something that fits your real life, Hers can help. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals in a way that actually fits your life. That's why Weight Loss by Hers is getting so much attention right now. Hers connects you with licensed medical providers who create doctor-developed treatment plans tailored to you. They offer access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. It helps regulate your appetite so you eat less and keep the weight off. If you're ready to reach your goals and want to try something new, visit forhers.com/Bert to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/Bert. Forhers.com/Bert. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is a registered trademark of Novo Nordisk A/S. Get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions. Visit forhers.com.
The Bert Show.
Jen and I both brought up something after the show yesterday that we're both struggling with, and then Wendy was nodding. So this might be a chronic problem.
Okay.
That in this generation or this world that we live in where downtime or relaxed time feels like wasted time. At least that's the way it feels for me.
Yeah, I can't really relax. Like I know I realized it last week and this week while I've been sick. Like, you know, I went to the doctor and basically they said, just rest. Like sit still, just rest, like let your body get better. And I feel guilty about it like the entire time. Like if I'm sitting on the couch watching TV, I feel guilty about it. Like I should be doing something else. I should be at least like on my laptop checking and responding to emails. I should be, you know, on my BlackBerry clearing that out or calling somebody or returning phone calls or paying bills or whatever it is, doing laundry. I mean, like I never can really, truly just sit still and relax.
And I have a theory about this. Okay. And I think Bert might be the most qualified person to weigh in on this because you have kids, which would be another, like a forced distraction. But I think the reason that we all feel that way is because of the BlackBerry or the iPhone or the smartphone that you carry. Mm-hmm. Because when it came up in the meeting, Jen brought it up first, and then I kind of seconded it and said, I'm trying to get better at it. Wendy nodded through the whole thing, but Melissa didn't really respond. Melissa is also the most disciplined about setting up her BlackBerry or whatever.
Samsung code.
Your Samsung code, which you get an email on it, though, right?
It's a smartphone, yeah.
So she gets the email and text and all that right in the palm of her hand, but she fusses at Katie Jo about setting it up. I don't know if any of us do. Like, we always have it, so you...
Well, Katie and I have had the conversation where we... there's been one night where I said you have to leave it in the car, and there's another night where you have to leave it in the kitchen, because I think the thing is, if you see it... You have to pick it up and have to look at it because
it's that light, man.
Because the smartphone has made, you talk about our culture, I think the smartphone has made us accessible 24/7. Mm-hmm. And before, we were not accessible 24/7.
There is something about, I think Melissa nailed it, because I've been doing this a lot lately. It's just keeping it in another room. Like if Stacey and I and the kids are out to dinner, I'll leave the phone in the car now. It's so freeing. I didn't realize how chained I was to that BlackBerry until it wasn't within reach. I mean, you really get to focus on what you're doing if it's not within arm's length.
Or you see the light going off or whatever.
It's that light,
you
know?
Even if I have it off in my pocket, mm-hmm. I always sort of know it's there. There's something mentally freeing about not being able to get to it.
I do that.
See, I think it's beyond the phone.
I'm the same way. I think I have ants in the pants syndrome. I feel like I'm missing something if I'm sitting on my couch. Like there's something else going on that I can't get to, and I'm being lazy by sitting on the couch and just relaxing.
You should be filling it with productive time. I think we all feel the same way.
I should be like cleaning my house, mm-hmm. doing the laundry. You know, there's dishes in the sink. Put those away. You know, you should. I mean, there's always like something else to do, whether it's like housework or actual work or being tied to the smartphone. I mean, I think it's like, I think it's more than just the phone. I think it's like just this sort of state of mind.
I don't know I think the phone is what caused that. Without the phone that you got email on, like if I was physically away from my computer, whether my laptop or desktop computer, if I was physically away from it, and one of y'all sent me an email and asked me a question about tomorrow's show or a date of an event or something like that, I wouldn't even know that existed. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So it's like Bert said, it's a 24/7 accessibility
thing. I've always had this mentality, though. I think the phone has made it worse, but I think it's a mentality. And here's where I think people that travel have an advantage, because you realize as you travel around the world that most other countries aren't like this. Mm-hmm. Our mentality in our country is we live to work. That's what we do. I mean, it's make more money. It's keep up with the Joneses. It's financially be better and more settled than somebody else.
Get right side up in your house because you over-leveraged it during the credit boom.
It's running and running. Whereas if you travel around the world, you realize that people work 6 or 8 hours and they're done. Their mind is clear and they get to go and enjoy life.
Or they have siesta in the middle of the day where everything shuts down for like 2 or 3 hours.
Now, there's reason why they're third world countries. You know, there's a payoff for everything.
But Italy's not a third world country, and they have a siesta.
Yeah, and they do pretty well themselves over there.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, my brother and sister were sensitive because our dad was a workaholic, and so it's to be on the other end of the excuses or the absence of attention or the got to get this done. I think, you know, we kind of tried to make a mental note to not do that because it is, and when I see Katie do it, she did not have the same experience growing up, and so when she is... Katie is constantly, constantly distracted all the time. And the phone is one of the main reasons why. Because I noticed that if the phone is in the car or the phone's in the kitchen and if she doesn't see it, she completely relaxes. She may still want to get up and do something, but it's not this, I'm completely distracted from what you're saying to me. Because mm-hmm. a smartphone forces you to be rude to another person when it comes to conversation. If it's dishes, we can be in the kitchen talking while we're doing dishes. And we can be talking while we're doing laundry. Uh-huh. We can talk while we're doing and stuff around the house, but when she's on that phone, she's trying to do the but her total attention's on that email, it's on that text, it's whatever she's doing, and it's just, and for me, it just brings back memories of, I just want you to pay attention to me. I don't care if it's for 10 minutes, but don't try to spend 30 minutes pretending like you're paying attention to me, because it hurts my feelings worse.
Hey, Jessica, welcome to the Bert Show.
Good morning, guys. I love your show.
Thank you very much.
I was actually calling to comment on what you were just talking about. I was wondering if you guys thought that marriages aren't lasting as long as well because of all of our technology now. Because before, you know, everybody was married, you know, 20, 30 years, our grandparents and things like that. But now, marriages just aren't lasting as long. It seems, you know, nobody has time for yeah, really focusing on anything.
It's not because of the BlackBerry. It's because of classmates.com. That's Facebook. Yes.
It's a complicated answer because there really is kind of two levels to it. Yeah, we're more distracted, but also, you know, infidelity, I think, is made easier, but also made more difficult by the computer also.
I was actually just thinking about that. It actually is made easier just because there's so many levels of being able to lie.
Well, it gives you access.
You're not just coming home. You're not, you know, it's just easier to lie about everything. And it's easier to meet people as well. I'm just talking like from my second marriage. I know that I am on my second marriage now. And I know that no matter what, I want things to happen. So because of that, I don't take my work home with me. I don't take my phone home with me. You know what I mean? I'm a lot more focused on it now. And I do see that there's just different. It's different now.
I read an article from a private investigator a couple of months ago that said that what the internet has done has made infidelity more accessible, but it's made it more difficult also because you leave an electronic fingerprint anytime you text or anytime you email or anytime you go to somebody's website, that it's much easier to get busted now than it was 30 or 40 years ago.
I can't remember if I told you all this, but I know somebody who got busted cheating because he was text messaging with his wife from his phone. And he said, I am at whatever. I'm at Taco Mac with Bert and Melissa, two coworkers, right? And she wrote back, oh, are you guys having fun? And he's like, yep, I'm going to have one more beer. And you know, we're all going to have one more round, and then I'm headed home. And she goes, okay, send me a picture of them. He wasn't there.
Oh, no.
And what do you do?
Right.
Like, he was at the, you know, according to him, he's at a table. If it's me, I should be able to go, Bert, Melissa, get together, hold up your beers, cheers.
I just think, it's like Bert said, it's so complicated because that may be one element, but that there's another element where divorce is an option. Where for our grandparents and, you know, in years past, divorce was not an option. That doesn't mean they were happy. It doesn't mean that somebody wasn't miserable, but they never got divorced. So I don't know. I don't know if I would just say that the, you know, smartphone is the only reason people are getting divorced.
Hey,
you know,
Kendall, welcome to the Bert Show.
Hey, I just wanted to kind of do a different line of thinking about, you know, free time and stuff. And I think the phones are part of it. I think they're reinforcing this idea that we're all the most important people ever. Which can't be true. The whole world is not going to stop if you don't answer an email for, you know, a couple of hours so that you can have dinner with friends or with your family or whatever. I mean, it's the idea that everybody is the most important and most special person ever, which isn't true. And then because you're thinking that, end up ignoring the people who actually are important.
Well, I still have this discomfort in calling somebody in the evening. Like, if it's somebody who has a family or somebody who's in a relationship, it never dawns on me at past, like, 8 o'clock to give them a phone call. Because that's just how we were in our home, that it was rude to interrupt somebody's private time with their families. But I find that Katie more so, you know, that's their time to catch up if people have been working all day. So I'm still, it's a foreign concept to me that her phone goes off so much because I'm like, well, who is calling know that she's home in the evening with me, and who knows what we may
You're
be doing,
so
old you know?
Fashioned with your morals and family time.
I mean, that's a crazy concept.
Melissa's black and white living in a colored world, man.
Yeah. your little frozen kids are going to grow up so dysfunctional, kind hearted.
God, you're so old, Mom.
God,
shut up.
Whatever you do, not teach them ethics.
The Bert Show.
Okay, can we talk about how confusing weight loss has become? Like, one minute, it's carbs are bad, and then the next, it's, no, actually, carbs are fine, but only if you walk 10,000 steps and drink a green juice, and honestly, it's just a lot. And then even if you do lose the weight, keeping it off is a whole different story. If you're struggling and want something that fits your real life, Hers can help. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals in a way that actually fits your life. That's why Weight Loss by Hers is getting so much attention right now.
Hers connects you with licensed medical providers who create doctor-developed treatment plans tailored to you.
They offer access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. It helps regulate your appetite so you eat less and keep the weight off. If you're ready to reach your goals and want to try something new, visit forhers.com/Bert to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/Bert. Forhers.com/Bert. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is a registered trademark of Novo Nordisk A/S. Get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions. Visit forhers.com.
The Bert Show.
Our intern Bianca is back after being gone for a week, and you're very missed.
Spring break.
You know what? You know what?
Cancun. I missed you guys.
You didn't miss us.
Not even for a second. You didn't think about us for a second.
Kurt was so upset that you you didn't come in that he didn't come in at all either.
Yeah,
I know.
I purposely broke my knee. I said, if you're not going to be in, I'm not coming in.
So where'd you go for spring break?
Cancun.
Oh yeah.
Oh, that's a party place.
Yes, it is, definitely.
Was this your first spring break?
No, I've been plenty of places before.
Take us old folks down there. Tell us what it's like in Mexico for spring break.
Well, it's margaritas and partying and a lot of drinking.
They still do that, huh?
Maybe, hey, Bert, really, did you really have knee surgery, Bert? Or were you in Cancun?
I was in Cancun, yeah. I was fishing. That's where I got the knee injury. I don't think, like, spring break's never going to change, man.
Right.
Same as it was 50 years ago, mm-hmm. as it is
drinking.
Now.
Drinking.
Did they do the thing at the Senior Frogs where they blow the whistle and shoot the shots into your mouth?
No, we didn't do that, but I did it on the party boat.
Okay.
Party boat. Drinking on the water.
Drinking on the land. Man.
Not only did you get to Cancun, but then you had to get on a party boat.
Yeah. Of course. Sure.
Cheapest liquor in Mexico, man.
Bar all day, unlimited.
Wow.
They just kept it coming.
Mm-hmm.
Was there any day at spring break where you didn't have a drink of alcohol?
No.
Why would you do that?
Why would you? That's why I was
asking.
That's the point.
Gosh. So I want to hear about the creepy guy, because
this is fascinating. Yes.
I've heard stories of adult dudes, like my age dudes, who go down to Cancun in Mexico because they during spring break time as their vacation. Like mm-hmm. they take their vacation week from their job, not their college spring break.
That's
their full time job. And I was like, whatever, you get, you know.
Let it go.
Yeah.
Stacey, I'm going to tell her next year that's where I'm going on my solo trip. I'm going down to Cancun on my solo trip.
And make sure
get any creepier
make sure
than that.
Happen to be on spring break.
Well, that's always a friend of a friend. You know, it's like that urban legend thing.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But Bianca saw one or two of those dudes creeping around down there.
It was very creepy. Well, we were boarding for the party boat, and it was all teenagers. And there were older people, but they were with their families. Nobody was solo. So this one guy came on by himself, and I looked, I was like, okay. So he sat in the corner.
How old was he?
He was late 30s, early late 40s, okay. Yeah.
Oh,
too
man.
Old to be there.
Yeah. So he was like, it was like he was disguised. He had a hat covering his face, big glasses on, like, and he sat in the back by himself. Mm. And he was just sitting, his arms were folded, and he was just watching the young girls, right? So about an hour into it, everybody is drunk, everyone is dancing, and these girls, they were like really wild, like girls gone wild, whatever. So they went over to him. They were dancing on him, kissing on him. And then he finally, you know, got up and he interacted with them. But then he sat back down and was just watching them.
That visual is just creepy. Like the old guy in the corner of the room watching.
Well, how did he get the girls to hook up with him? If he was the creepy guy, they just went right up to him.
Well, they were just wild. You know, they were just dancing on everyone, bending over, doing splits. Like they were just...
Maybe
beyond
the fact that
drunk.
He was just sitting there by himself and he's, you know, when you're drunk, that's a fun target
but
or whatever.
Is banking on, it's Jen, Bianca, Melissa, and Wendy, and they're the wild girls.
Mm-hmm.
They're banking on Melissa saying, hey, Jen, I dare you to go over there and make out with that dude.
Look at that dude. Yeah. And nobody should be alone on a bus or on a party boat. Yeah.
Yeah, that was weird itself. He was by himself.
Yeah. And how old were the girls?
They were in their 20s, like 23, 24.
Oh. Okay.
Maybe 21. Yeah. But anyway, so they were talking, whatever, and at the end of the boat ride, they were kissing this one girl and him. So I tapped my boyfriend. I was like, look at him. It looks pretty weird. And he's like, yeah, everyone's looking at it. So he whispers to the girls, I heard, because they were right next to me. He said, come to my hotel room, whatever. And I just like, that's how girls end up missing. Like, you don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
So I just thought it was pretty creepy. So I was on America's Most Wanted trying to see if I seen him on there and stuff like that. I mean, I have a picture of him in my camera. So it was just pretty weird. I just thought something was going on.
And those girls were just so careless.
Yeah,
do you think they went? Did it look like they were going to go back with him?
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Really?
Well, because he's got a full-time job.
Eesh.
Mm-hmm. You know, so he's probably got the...
he's promising to pay for stuff, you
think?
He's buying probably, booze.
He's probably staying at the nicer hotel. There's nobody else in the room, and he can pay the tab and everything.
Well, and it's easy for us now to look back at it and see how stupid it was. But when you were there, I mean, your 20s, you're so reckless and you're just looking for like the next. When's the next good time going to happen?
I feel like I would have been aware of a 45-year-old dude hanging in the corner.
That's creepy.
And we would have never we would have never let one leave the path to go by themselves. You know, girls would, I mean, if you're a good friend, especially if you're on spring break, then you and your group of girls that have gone together, you always make sure that you know where the others are.
Yeah.
You don't just let one go with somebody who, especially older. That would have been extra creepy. But even just, just somebody local and you don't know who they are, you just, you wouldn't let them go by themselves.
There's there's a TV show that right now that's on E! Okay. And I stumbled across it on Sunday afternoon. And if you had seen this, Bianca, you may not have gone, even as a young, reckless college student. Mm-hmm. It's called Spring Break Nightmares.
Oh.
And it could basically be called Reasons to Not Go to Mexico. Because it seemed like...
Was it just Mexico they were focused on?
80% of the stories had to do with Mexico. And it sucked. Like, if you're the Mexico Board of Tourism, like, you hated that. But it was the creepiest story were two dudes, and they were partying. And they had stories about, like, guys who got just roughed up by the cops to get money from them. You know, like, the cops would instigate fights, and then you'd have to pay your fine in cash in the back of the police car. And there's all those stories. And the creepiest one were these two dudes who were on a bus going back to their hotel room, and they were having a conversation. And then the one dude wakes up on a bench in a park the next morning. He's like, hello. And his buddy's missing. Well, they do the whole investigation, and they find out that sitting behind them on the bus were members of this gang that sells and distributes drugs, drug gang. And they believe that they need to remain smarter than the authorities and have superpowers. Mm. And one way they could obtain that is by eating the brain.
Oh, damn.
This sounds like a horror
movie. It's not.
Or like an urban legend or something.
They showed it. It was the Mexican version of Cops because they believe they could eat the brain. And they had to find smart, blonde-headed people.
What?
Yep. So guys were having a conversation on the bus, and the one guy in that conversation said that he was a pre-med student.
And he was blonde.
The other guy was not a pre-med student. They made the determination at that point that the blonde guy would go. So they took the blonde guy, they kill him, do crazy things with his body, bury him on the farm. When they did the investigation, the cool thing about the Mexican version of Cops, you get busted doing something wrong in Mexico, they made the guy who did it dig up the body. So that's what the TV coverage is like him trying to dig. And it was like 20 people over a dozen years that they had found. And it was...
I can't believe this, because it does sound like something my mother would tell me before I went on spring break.
Right, to scare you, like a scare straight story.
Yeah. Yeah.
Look, I went down to Waikiki for spring break one year with two dudes. We didn't see my friend Kenny for 4 days. He left with a girl and never even thought twice about it. Slow Kenny.
Okay.
It was pretty fast that week. And we didn't see him for 4 days, never thought twice about it, and he showed up right before we left for our flight, and everything was fine.
See, girls are different.
Well,
I mean...
Still reckless, but when you're that young, man, you don't even process that kind of danger.
We would have never let a girl be gone for 4 days group.
The name of the show, it's on E!, and it's called True Horror Stories Spring Break Edition or something like that. I found a link to the page, but I can't find the next time it airs. So I'll give that to Joanne, and I'll keep researching. But check it out.
Wow.
It's it's on E!, and it'll freak you out. Parents, if you got kids at spring break,
scary.
Don't watch it.
Oof.
Hey, The Bird Show.